Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. These words: despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. That is the title of our message this evening. And we continue in these great exhortations by the Apostle Paul at the very end of this letter to the Thessalonians. Well, we have over several weeks been considering these wonderful sayings or statements, directives, and we have noted that they are exhortations to rejoice and to pray without ceasing and to give thanks. They have been very wonderful exhortations, commandments that are not grievous, that do not lay heavy burdens upon us. Rejoice evermore. They are invitations to fulfill our joy and our delight in the Lord, to rejoice that we have a God who is so gracious and is so full of mercy and is so willing to save us. And these directives, these commandments, encourage us to rejoice in these things and to make the most of these things. And we considered last week, quench not the Spirit. What a thing to consider, that the third person of the triune Godhead, God himself, equal with the Father and the Son, dwells within us. What a wonderful thing to remember. And the exhortation was, quench not the Spirit. Let the third person of the triune Godhead, God the Spirit, work his wonderful work in you. What a tremendous commandment to us. These commandments, of course, are not grievous. But perhaps when we come to verse 20, perhaps this one is more challenging for us. Despise not prophesyings. And first of all, of course, we have to ascertain and define what these prophesyings are. Despise not prophesyings. Now, commonly, when we think about people prophesying, we think about prophets, people who can predict what is going to happen in the future. That's normally, commonly, what we think of. A prophet is somebody who makes a prophecy and then the prophecy comes to pass. Somebody who can accurately predict the future. But in the Bible, prophesying does not always mean that. Prophesying really essentially means the proclamation of the Word of God. The proclamation of the Word of God. Now, in the early church, the apostolic age, there were those men who were raised up to be able to prophesy. Of course, we've mentioned this many times as we've been going through the letter to the Corinthians in our midweek Bible study. But obviously, in the apostolic age, the New Testament was not all written down. They did not have the New Testament like we had. So where are they going to get all their teaching and all their commandments and all their doctrine? Well, men were raised up, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to preach, to proclaim the Word of God, direct revelation from God, prophesying. They didn't have the scriptures to look to, but they were able, moved by the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the Word of God. And that is how we take this word to mean. Prophesying, it's proclamation of the Word of God. Now, obviously, nowadays, in the modern time, we do have the New Testament before us. Does that mean we can now no longer apply this word to us? No, we can still apply it. Because even a preacher, a modern day preacher, well, he's essentially doing the same thing the same task. He is proclaiming the word of God. He has the New Testament. He's not giving any new revelation, but he is proclaiming the word of God. And in many ways, it is exactly the same as those who would prophesy in the apostolic age. A preacher, a pastor, even in this modern age, is still entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. In his preparation, he's entirely dependent on the Spirit of God, not upon himself, for understanding of the Word of God, for insight into the Word of God. He's dependent on the Holy Spirit, just like those who prophesied in apostolic times. And then when he comes up to the pulpit, well, he's dependent on the Holy Spirit to be able to speak, to be able to communicate things in a way that people will understand and will take in. Prophesying, it's still the same thing. It's the proclamation of the Word of God. And so when we look at these words, I propose that these words, this word rather, prophesyings, it can apply to the proclamation of the Word of God that we see even now in the modern day, the preaching of the Word of God. And also, just to add this at the very start, prophesyings doesn't just mean the spoken, proclaimed Word of God, but it also means the written Word of God. Prophesying, the spoken and the written Word of God. Of course, the two cannot be separated. If you are prophesying, proclaiming the Word of God, well, it has to come from the Word of God. You can't separate it. If you preach with no reference to the Word of God, well, then you're not really preaching at all, not in this sense, not prophesying. So when we think and consider about prophesyings this evening, well, we will look at both the spoken word, the spoken proclamation of the Word of God, and the written Word of God. And maybe I will look at that in greater detail towards the end of our study this evening. But this is the commandment to us: despise not prophesying. Now, it is most likely that the Apostle Paul is giving this commandment because the public proclamation of the Word of God was being downgraded in some way, was being diminished, was not being thought of as highly as it ought to have been thought of. Perhaps there were other things, and this is most likely because we see this elsewhere in the New Testament, that was taking, well, all the attention of the new Christians. We remember that in the apostolic age, there were many gifts. There were gifts of healing. There was tongue speaking. And people were getting very carried away with these gifts, these sign gifts that were just for that time. People were getting so carried away with that, that the prophesying, the doctrines, the teaching of the Word of God, the exhortation, well, they were just sort of pushing that to one side. The prophesying, well, it's not really that important. We like the healings. We like the tongue speaking. They're so spectacular. They're so wonderful. Everybody loves that. But the Apostle Paul says, despise not prophesying. That is so important, the prophesying. And well, in the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul makes this very point to those at Corinth, as well as at Thessalonica. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Yes, you have a great gift amongst you, that sign gift, tongue speaking, but there is a greater gift of prophesying, the teaching of the Word of God, the giving of the doctrines, the exhortation. The tongue speaking will pass away. That will cease to exist. But the prophesying will be in the Christian church throughout all the ages. Because through the prophesying, through the public proclamation of the word, through that the church will be edified, not through the healing ministry, not through the tongue speaking, it is through the the prophesying. And that is why the Apostle Paul, I believe, makes this great exhortation here. Despise not prophesying, the preaching of the word of God. And well, of course, this commandment is so very relevant for us in this day and age, because, well, we can all see it, that preaching, old-fashioned preaching from the pulpit, is slowly but surely being undermined in our churches in the modern day, being increasingly frowned upon, being increasingly discouraged. Preaching, it used to be the most important thing about a church. The preaching, what's the preaching like? We want to go somewhere where the preaching is good, where the preaching is biblical, where it's sound, where it exhorts us, where it challenges us. The preaching was the highest thing. Now it's not so. People, when they look for a church, they look for other things, not the preaching. Or what are the facilities like? What's the creche like? How big is the congregation? Doesn't matter what the preaching is like. What's the fellowship like? Do we have social events at this church? The preaching used to be the most important thing, but sadly that has now diminished. It is being phased out. And you think about what modern churches are replacing it with. Modern churches, well, when they try to promote themselves to others and to the outside world, they don't look to the preaching. You have a church perhaps somewhere like Hillsong. How do they sell themselves? Hillsong, it's not through the preaching, it's through the big bands, the worship, it's through the experience. It's just like going to a concert. Well, perhaps they do have some preaching there, I'm sure, but that's not what they sell themselves on. That's not what they pride themselves on. It's the worship, it's the music, the preaching. Well, it's diminished, it's despised in some way. And then we have all other sorts of things that are being used in place of worship. You all know about my love-hate relationship with these debates. Sometimes they can be good and useful, but it seems to be the case that people are increasingly looking to debates rather than preaching for their spiritual edification. In other places, in many churches, the preaching is being downgraded in favor of home groups. Many churches, well, they have someone at the front, but then the congregation is split up into little groups, and they all just talk about the Bible. That's how they want to study. They don't want anyone preaching at the front of the church. We just want to all get into little groups and have our own little chat. The preaching is being faded out, and this is very sad, and we must be aware of these things, because it is contributing to the downgrade of the church. But well, of course, it is no surprise to us that preaching is being phased out. Preaching, generally speaking, is increasingly out of place in today's society, and I give you a few reasons why that is. Preaching, by its very nature, and when we see it in the scriptures before us, preaching is always very serious. It's very serious. These are serious things that we discuss when we preach. Things about our souls, about heaven, about hell, about eternity. Preaching is very serious. But nowadays, in this culture, everything is very trivial. Everything must be made very light. We can't take many things too seriously anymore. We have to lighten everything up with jokes and so forth. So preaching in that sense, well, it's very unpopular. Preaching speaks of judgment. Every preacher has to speak about judgment. We have to stand before God and God will judge us. But in this culture, we don't like to speak about judgment. Oh, we're so liberal. We don't judge anybody nowadays. So preaching is very unpopular. Preaching, when we preach the word of God, while preaching presents the word of God as truth, infallible truth. But nowadays in this culture, well, we live in a post-truth society. There is no truth anymore. There are no absolute truths. We all have opinions, sometimes very worthy opinions, but no actual truth. And so you can see why preaching is being pushed out increasingly out of our society. Preaching is old-fashioned, but dear friends, we have to defend this preaching, and we have to defend it very fervently. But, well, let me apply these things. We've spoken about places where preaching is discouraged and perhaps non-existent. But even in places where we do preach, places such as this, we always have to examine ourselves. And if we come to a church that preaches faithfully, a Bible-believing church, we have to apply this directive to us. Is it possible that even though we come to such a church, we still despise the prophesyings, the preaching of the Word of God? When we come to this place, what is your attitude to the actual preaching of the Word of God? Yes, we do love the fellowship. That's a good thing, by the way. Yes, we do love the hymns. But what's your attitude to the preaching? Is that the time when you're going to switch off? Is that the time that is the most boring time of the service? Oh, the pastor's going to get up to preach. Oh, I hope he doesn't go on too long. This is just the bit where we just got to get through it, and then we can all have a nice cup of tea at the end. Not that that's a bad thing. But do you despise the prophesying? The preaching, it's the boring bit. Oh, I hope he doesn't go on for too long. Well, we have to examine our attitude when we think about these things, because that would fall into this commandment. Despise not prophesying. We love every other part of the service, and that's a wonderful thing, the hymns and the prayers. But the prophesying, that bit which is most beneficial to our souls, well, that's the bit that we don't really like. That's the bit that we would wish away if we could. Another way we can apply it, if we do listen to the Word of God, if we do listen to the preaching, how do we respond to it? So many people have a problem with the authority of preaching, with the authority of the Word of God. And we must be careful that we do not fall into that trap. Many people, well, they listen to the preaching, they enjoy it to some degree, but whenever a preacher says something they don't like, well, then they just ignore it. They just reject it. They reject the authority of the word. Oh, I can just leave that bit out. I know the preacher said that I have to do that, but I don't really have to listen to that. We reject the authority of the word of God, of prophesying. For example, somebody might love a preacher speaking about the love of God, about how God is so gracious and kind, but when that same preacher says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world, oh, well, then we ignore that. We throw that out. I'm not going to believe in that. I just like it when he speaks about lovely things. But if there are things that I need to obey, that command obedience from me, then I'm not going to listen. That would fall under this. You're despising the prophesying of the word of God. You're cherry picking. I will take this part of the word of God, but I won't take that part of the word of God. You're cherry picking. You're despising certain parts of the word of God. And dear friends, this is what the apostle is warning against. This can have very serious repercussions. It's not a trivial thing. Very serious repercussions. If you cherry pick from the word of God, it can be very, very serious. I know some people, not many, but some, well, they believe everything in the Bible except the most important parts. The most important parts they don't believe. We were thinking this morning about John chapter 3 And well, we remember verse 3. What an important verse that is. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What an important verse that is. The need for personal conversion. And yet I know some people, they're willing to believe the entire rest of the Bible, but not that one bit. I don't feel I need a personal conversion. Oh, I believe in this and I believe in that and I believe in the Ten Commandments. But if you come to me speaking about personal conversion, I don't believe in that at all. Well, that has such serious repercussions. Dear friends, the prophesyings, the Word of God, we can't just accept some things and ignore the other. We accept all of it, the entire Word of God. And this is very important for us. When we come to the Word of God, we ought to desire that it changes us, that it molds us. We ought to yield to the authority of God. I remember when I was unsaved, I used to love going to the movies, to the cinema, and every time I would go in, I'd be so excited. I'd think to myself, where is this film going to take me? What a fantastical world is this film going to take me to in the next 2 hours? I was so excited about these things. Well, you know, that ought to be our reaction to the Word of God. Not where is this Word going to take me, but how is this Word going to change me? What challenge is this Word going to give me? I want to come out of this church changed in some way, challenged, determined to be better, to do better. I don't just want to come into church and sit here and come out of the church exactly the same as I went in, totally unmoved. No, we come and we desire to be changed. Otherwise, we're resisting the authority of the Word of God and despising the prophecies. Well, all these things are very important. And by the way, this goes for everybody. This applies to everybody. No matter how long we have been Christians, we always look to be taught. Sometimes, and again, only a few people that I've known like this, but you do get people who come into church and they think they know everything. They think to themselves, oh, well, this pastor is going to preach from the Word of God, but I don't need to listen to this because I already know everything. This preacher's not going to teach me anything new. So they don't really listen at all if they turn up in the first place. But again, that is despising prophecy. We never know what the Lord can say to us, no matter how experienced we are. And so we have to always be attentive and love the Word of God. But dear friends, let me begin to draw to conclusion because I've given you a lot on just this verse. Now, I mentioned earlier that when we think about this word prophesyings, it's not just about the spoken Word of God, about the preaching of the Word of God, but it's about the written Word itself. The Holy Scripture. So let us just for these closing moments, and I won't be long, let us just examine our attitudes to the Word of God itself. Do we esteem the Bible as highly as we ought to do? Do we esteem the Bible? Do we read it every day? Or do we not think it's necessary to read it every day? Every day, read the Bible? Oh, well, that's a bit too much. You're not really giving the Bible its proper place, esteeming it so highly. You're despising it in some way, downgrading it in some way. It's not really important. When we do have our devotions, when we go to read the Bible, are we sort of forcing ourselves? Is it just a chore, a cold duty? Dear friends, that is not right. We are to love the Word of God. This is how we really fulfill this exhortation, this commandment. not simply by refraining from despising the prophecies, but loving the word of God. Loving the word of God. This is how we fulfill it. And well, I read from Psalm 119 earlier and verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. The psalmist loved the law, the word of God. It is my meditation all the day. He loved the word of God. He meditated it upon it all the day. He no doubt memorized it. Do we desire to memorize the word of God? Or again, do we think, oh, we don't have to do that. It's too extreme. No, we meditate upon the word of God. We love the law, love the word. We love the word of God because the word of God is pure. The word of God is pure. Do we realize that the word of God is the only thing in existence that is still pure? Everything else in this world has fallen. Everything else in this world is tainted with sin, not the word of God. The word of God is pure, is clean. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is the only thing on earth that's pure and clean. What a wonderful thing, and it is in our possession. We love the word of God because it is true, and we've mentioned this already. Psalm 119 and verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning. It's perfectly true. So you can trust this word. It's the only thing on earth that you can trust. Who else can you trust? The authorities of this world, the government, the politicians. Sometimes you can't even trust those who are closest to you. That's true. We all know that. But this word you can trust. That's why we ought to love it and hold it dear to us and to our souls. You ought to love this word because it gives us victory. It gives us victory in our lives, victory over sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. It gives us great victory over sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, every temptation came to him from the devil. How did he respond to the devil? With scripture, with the word of God. That was what gave him victory. So you ought to love the word of God, because you cannot have victory over sin without it. Dear friends, these are wonderful. I could go on. We love the word of God because of the promises it gives us. The promise of eternal life. The promise that we are right with God, of eternal peace and joy. You won't find it anywhere else, those promises, except in the word of God. We love the word of God because it is of God, conceived in the eternal mind. Do we not marvel that these words that we read before us, they're not of men, they're from heaven, conceived by the triune God? Oh, these things, well, we could go on for many, many hours, but let me just perhaps close with this one point. We love the word of God because it is the reason, the cause of our salvation. If you are saved in this place, if you are in this church, because you are a born-again believer, it's because of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we ought to love it and esteem it and never despise or reject any part of it. You are saved. You are headed for eternal joy because of the word of God. This is the exhortation. Despise not prophesying. Dear friends, this is the reason why so many churches are failing. So many churches around us, they're dying. They're losing people. They're losing young people particularly. And they ask themselves, why is this happening? And they go to emergency measures. Oh, we need to bring in the bands. We need to put big screens at the front. We need to make it more lively, more jokes. No, they don't need to do that. All they need to do is return to the Word of God. Despise not the prophesyings. That's what they need to do. And when God sees a church that is centered on His Word, He will bless most assuredly, as He is blessing this church, and how we pray that we will continue to cleave to this Word, that we may know greater blessing. Well, dear friends, what a tremendous exhortation. Despise not prophesyings. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Father in heaven, oh dear Lord, how we pray that we may indeed love Thee and love Thy Word and meditate upon it all the day. Lord, help us, Lord, for we know that we fall so far short, every single one of us, that we have despised Thy prophesyings, that we have come coldly to Thy Word and not esteemed it as we ought. But Lord, bless us that we may go away from this place indeed changed, more willing, more determined to love Thy Word and to live in the light of Thy truth. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.